two times. Talk about Budweiser. Yeah. You're asking the questions that nobody could. Like where the both of them are they in harmony? Do do. Help a snowman. Do.
Hey everybody. Welcome to another episode. Today we've got content. Oh boy. Hold on, I'm gonna have to figure something out here. I need some light. I'm becoming an old man. I don't know if you're aware of that. I am aware of it. Just in case you're curious of whether I know that I'm becoming fucking old. I know. Okay, so here's the deal. Quite a while back, we somehow got this donation of books, and in with the donation were a bunch of letters. And, hang on. Sorry, I had to go fetch a flashlight so I can see this better. That's the life I live. They're handwritten letters. They're kind of hard to read. So I might struggle with this too. But here's the thing I wanted to test out, because I have a theory. I think that like a show like a This American Life, right, makes it seem like every story, everyone's got an interesting story to tell and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, here's a bunch of letters. They seem to be from a naval base. I'm trying to see if I can find a date on them. I can tell you that this postage was 3 cents. Sent to Oklahoma from... Yeah, they keep coming from naval stuff. Oh, here we go. August 27th, 1940, right? So you'd think like, oh my God, a box of letters. What a treasure trove. But I'm wondering, is it a treasure trove or is it nonsense? So I thought we would read through some of these and find out. Treasure trove or nonsense? Does everyone have an interesting story to tell? Let's see. Tuesday, August 27th, 1940. My dear Marilyn, your nice long letter came yesterday. We were something glad to get it and to know just what day to expect you. I won't be long now. I hope you have time to see Uncle Hugh and Aunt Kate for a minute anyway while you are in L something. So you are in the movies. I certainly want to see the picture sometime and do hope you are right in plain sight. I hope you something do as well in your examinations as you have been doing in your tests. I think I have made something only once. Foam cakes? I think I have made foam cake. Is this a sexual thing? Have I just stumbled upon the interesting part? Is a foam cake some kind of a sexual thing that I don't know about? For something since you left. The girls don't like them. But while Bob and Linda and Johnny were here, we had them often. You shall have waffles and pancakes and everything else you want while you are home. Oh, that's nice. Please don't travel with any more money on your person that you really need, for you could be robbed. Okay, I numbered the pages, which is nice. So easily. Not long ago, a man was held up on the highway near something and robbed of $25 in very bold print. You could mail home what you want to use while here. A check, something, money order, then it will be ready. Then it will be safe. Mrs. Somebody is very low again. She suffers so terribly with her head. Something is doing well. She has fixed something. The filling station, so nice. Blah, blah, blah. Use some of her... something money and had Margie. Damn it. Give her a something. A permanent. Someone got a perm. School begins next Monday, and Barbara can hardly wait. She has all her books ready. She got something, which isn't very much. And it may be the last... Okay. Maybe the last I will write you until after your vacation. Blah, blah, blah. See you real soon, Mother. Oh, this is from Mom. This is from Mom? I thought this was going to be from, like, a dude. This person's mom wrote them this much? My mom does not even text me this much. And this person's mom wrote... I wonder if all these letters are from Mom? See, there's a mystery to solve. So that's something. I hope they're not all from the same person. I hope they're from someone with less insane handwriting. I mean, is this just part of the entertainment? Because you're like... You know, oh, this will take me a while to read. Damn it. July 30th, 1940. I read your nice letter yesterday at 5 p.m. I read it and sent it to your mother. What? By Noreen. Noreen got a job at Doherty's store. She's been there 30 weeks. She has to work very hard. I think she likes it. And this is pretty boring. Pretty well. I'm sure glad you will be home soon. Train. Blah, blah, blah. All right. This looks boring. Skipping this one. You know, because it's like, I mean, I hope you'll be home soon. Someone's got a job at the store. Wowzers. Oh, there's something in here? No. Old paper was nicer, though, than current paper, I think. This is from California, from a hotel. From a hotel, July 10th, 1940, is the postmark. Oh, these stink. I just happened to hear about you being at San Diego, so I thought I would write you a few lines to see how you were getting along. This is what's funny about writing letters back in the day, is like, you know, if you've ever tried to write a letter, it's super weird because when you start doing it, you start realizing, like, it's kind of strange to write to someone and not really know how they're doing. Because you feel like you're either talking about yourself a shitload or asking them questions that you're like, well, I guess they have a bunch of things to answer. Ooh, this one's typed. And it's to Mervin. So not only is it not from who I thought it was, but it's to a Mervin from Lynn. Dear Mervin, this is August 6, 1940. Well, I'm a little late in answering your letter, but better late than never, so here goes. You lucky stiff, to be going home with you I would give almost anything. But there's no hope for me until Christmas and an awful small chance then. Have a good time for me while you are there and give those dames a treat they'll never forget. That's what I'm talking about. Go give a nice dame a treat they'll never forget. Toss the salad is what that means. That is August 6, 1940 way of saying toss the salad. I don't suppose I'll get to see you before you leave because we won't arrive in San Diego until the 6th or 7th. Write and tell me when you are leaving. Excuse the mistakes, I'm a little rusty. He had to do like a go on to the next line thing. I mean, this is amazingly well typed and written, you know, for someone who probably doesn't do this a lot. This old Hawaii is okay, but enough is enough and I've had enough for a while. I think we will be in San Diego until the first of the year for gunnery practice, and then to the East Coast for an inspection tour of the air bases over there. That's going to be something. Say, if you haven't found out what ship you are going to get, hope you get a tanker or a freighter. They have such nice living quarters that I sure pity for myself for getting this old tub. If you made a radio man, you ought to make a rate quickly. They say it's the fastest rate there is. I wish I was out of this fire control business, but our division officer can't see anything else. I haven't seen Wallace but once, and then it was just for a few minutes. Seems like I just can't be in the same place he is at the same time he is there. I've been doing pretty good in the way of women. Those nurses sure can spend the money, though. I think I'm going to get a trip around the island with my cousin and another girl. If everything goes I think it will, I'll have something to tell the folks back home. Until next time, I'll be thinking about you. Yours, Lynn. So I guess Lynn is a dude. Sounds like. Those nurses sure can spend money. Boy, howdy. There you go. It's like, okay, so, I mean, that was old-timey, but, I mean, that's about the interest level for me, right? Using the word dames was probably the high point. That doesn't say a lot for the interest level of these. Are you bored? I'm bored. Pardon all the errors, I was in a hurry. I can't read this shit. I need someone who's experienced in reading terrible handwriting, because I feel like listening to me go, and then we went to this, is going to just be like torturous. See if I can find any more typed shit. Or maybe I'll just skip down and find something that looks interesting. M.M. Martin. See if I can find anything that looks better written. It's interesting, like, I don't know, people don't really write in cursive anymore, do they? Like, is that a thing people do? Here's a tiny scrap of paper with what looks like a cell phone. Or, sorry, a phone number. Here's another scrap of paper, a receipt. For God knows what. He got some clothes. Some rating badges. For the Navy, I suppose. I mean, this is like stuff that if this was your grandpa, you'd probably be, like, interested in. You can possibly get off, that note says. I think that means off work, not. If you come do this, you'll probably get off. Ugh, there's so much shit in here. There is there's a little scrap from, like, a newspaper. The hoist. There's an in memoriam on the cover. I don't know which part of the hoist he's looking for, but it looks like a thing. Let's see. There's people being honored. Navy men are the target of destructive efforts. I don't see anything. All right, well, there you go. I mean, didn't seem super interesting to me. I don't know. If I'm wrong, you just send me an email and be like, I want you to read more of those letters. Do it. I don't believe your thesis just yet. Do it. I demand it. I'm in charge of the show. I'm the producer now. And I want you to do this. If I get those letters very soon, maybe I'll consider it. If I don't, I'll probably have gotten rid of this shit before I get the letter. And then you're screwed. So don't hesitate. Write in today. I had another interesting thing. These are skits. So sometimes at work you get these, like, books. These weird books that people will have. And one of these is, like, skits for, like, Young Life, which is, like, a Christian sort of youth organization. And I guess these are, like, things you can do. Like, icebreakers, kind of. And I remember looking through these and thinking some of them were pretty strange. Let's see. These are called quickies, which already, the first thing in there is quickies. So the first way that we're going to talk about, you know, icebreakers for youth is, like, how about some quickies? And the first one is called Take Off What You Don't Need, or What's the First Thing You'd Take Off? In this contest, you get three guys and take them out of the room. Tell the crowd that this is an intelligence contest. We will tell each person to take off something they don't need while they are sitting under the blanket. The object is to take off the blanket, which they don't need. Okay, wait a minute. We will tell each person to take off something they don't need while they are sitting under the blanket. The object is to take off the blanket, which they don't need. Meanwhile, have another leader tell the three guys what is going on. This is a setup on the crowd rather than the three guys. Have them go out one at a time and have the first two take off a few items like a watch, socks, or shoes. Is this it? No. Then have them realize what is going on and take off the blanket. Then have the third guy come out, have him put on a pair of gym shorts under all of his clothing in the back room. The third guy proceeds to take off all of his clothes, throwing them out from under the blanket. Then he runs off with just his gym shorts and the blanket around his waist. You are, quote, accidentally standing on the blanket. So basically, the first icebreaker suggested for this like youth group, like if you're, I'm running a youth camp, so what should I do for my youth group? I don't know, make it seem like you're basically tricking kids into taking all their clothes off and then running away. Well, that sounds like a brilliant idea. Guys switch roles with girls relay. So props, you need football pants, jersey, shoulder pads, cleats, and sweat socks. You also need a big woman's girdle, dress, leotards, high heels, and wig. Have four guys race four girls. The girls have to completely put on the football uniform over their clothes, and the guys have to put on the women's clothes. After they are completely dressed, they have to take it off, and the next person starts putting it on. The first team, guys or girls, to finish wins. See, all of these are like, so far, there's two, and they both involve stripping. Like, how do you want these kids to get in, to know each other? I know, we'll just have them, we will just have them get naked. I mean, that's fine, but you know. Balloon race. Use three teams, each one composed of one girl dressed in long johns or a sweatsuit, one guy to blow up balloons, and one girl to stuff them into the long johns. Time to race to see which team can stuff the most balloons in the same given time. What? Some of these, too, like the way they do this, it's pretty crazy. Oh, here's a game. Guess weight. Have several people come up and sit cross-legged. The weight guesser lifts each one of them, holds them for a few seconds, then puts them down and guesses. On about the third one, a guy, slip a pan of water under his bottom before he gets down. Oh, so you just, like, make it look like he pissed his pants. That's real nice. Kiss the candle holder. This is an old faithful. Send three guys out, hand a pretty girl a candle, bring in one guy at a time, and tell him to kiss the candle holder. That's all it says. Okay, here's another one. Name the flower. Send a couple of guys out of the room. Decide on certain flowers to represent three or four girls. A guy comes in and asks, "What's your flower?" And they act it out. He tries to guess. Gets to the last girl who has flower in her mouth, and when he asks her, she blows it all over him. That's disgusting. Also, how long can you hold a bunch of flour in your mouth without it getting gross and saliva-y? I mean, that seems right, like what would happen. I don't know, that seems like what would happen to me. Banana monkey race. Call up three guys, blindfold them, give them each a banana, and tell them it's a race to see who can act like a monkey and eat the banana. Unblindfold two of the guys, so one guy is racing all by himself. A lot of these are also predicated on, like, humiliating one person. This is how Jason Voorhees starts. You know, because they're like, I mean, who's the guy who's going to get the flower blown in his face? Well, it's probably going to be, you know, Jason. Right? I mean, isn't that how this works? Ugliest thing in the world. You need one large blanket and three informed fellows. Announce that you have discovered the ugliest thing in the world, and he is so ugly that it's hard to look at him. In fact, it's downright unbearable. Only another real ugly person can stand the sight of him. At this point, bring in a guy underneath a huge blanket rigged in such a way that there is an opening around his face, but not exposed to the room. Ask a couple of guys who are real ugly to take a look at him and let us know what he looks like. Of course, these two guys have been clued in. Each takes a hesitant look at the ugly thing, and each reacts very violently, screaming, running out of the room, clutching at his eyes. Finally, pick a cute girl and ask her to take a look. She will probably be a little reluctant about taking a look at him. When she finally does, the guy underneath the blanket starts screaming violently and runs out of the room. Like, that just seems crazy, right? That just seems, like, mean. Mean-spirited, maybe? Is the point of that that, you know, I'm saying, like, only an ugly person can look at something so ugly, and so I pick two kind of uggo guys, and then I pick a cute girl to be like, I'm going to make her think that she's an uggo. Sounds a little weird, right? String mania. Tie a girl's wrists together with string, leaving about 1.5 foot slack. Then do the same with a boy's wrist, except that the string of the girl is placed between the boy's string and his body, i.e. they're hooked together. The object is for both of them to separate by funny combinations of stepping through rope, putting their heads through, etc. However, there is no way they can do it by tying to thread limbs. When they are thoroughly entangled, show them how simple it can be done. Have the guy take the loop of his string that is on the girl's side and pass it. This is not being well explained. Pickpocket skit. Freddy Fingers and Hands Harry meet and embrace each other. They tell where they've been in the last few years, and as they say goodbye, one says to the other, "Oh, you may want this." He gives him back his watch. The exchange of articles that they have picked up from each other goes on and on until one of them hands back the other's pair of drawers. Ha 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 ha. Ugh, gross. Banana split. Build a banana split in the mouth of the person who will eat it. This can be a sort of a one-shot deal or could be done by three or four girl or guy teams. Girls build, guys eat, or vice versa. Very messy. Club leaders, of course, have to provide all the ingredients, bananas, three kinds of ice cream, nuts, cherry, etc. The victim lies on the floor with mouth wide open while his or her partner builds the split. It helps if the builder has to use his hands to scoop out the ice cream and etc. That is so gross. Can you imagine you're laying on the floor and they're building a banana split in your mouth? And then what? Then you're just sitting there? And how long is it till somebody else is like, "All right, now I'll just eat this. I'm just going to eat it out of this dude's mouth. I don't care." These all sound also like, when you think about it, you know, like weird sex moves, like donut on a string, Excedrin womp. Have each boy put a paper bag loosely over his head down to his ears. Each boy has a rolled newspaper. The object of the skit is to knock the other guy's hat off without losing one's own. No one is allowed to hold the hat on. So you're walking around blindfolded, hitting paper bags off each other's head. Stabbing duel. Have two guys tie left wrists together. Each takes a banana in his right hand. The object is to one-handedly peel the banana and stab the other boy in the face. The first to do so is the winner. If that is not a homoerotic game, then I don't know what is. They're pretty amazing, though. A pretty amazing way to go about a camp, I guess. It's like, if you want to be a camp that's going to be on, like, Nancy Grace at some point, here's the way to do it. Have I got some games for you? This is one where you build a banana split in a boy's mouth. But, you know, put the banana in vertically. That's the joke. Good one. Real good one. Okay. I have another thing. I've got a bunch of shit. So basically, it's like I'm kind of trying to plow through a bunch of junk that I just have, right? And this is 18 ways to help your teens avoid the dangers of drugs and alcohol. And this is from a couple years ago. It was packaged in a CD case. So it's, you know, cool and square. So, should we look at the 18 ways? All right. When you talk to your teen about alcohol and drugs, they are 42% less likely to try them. That seems very unlikely. But okay. If your teen's friends drink alcohol, yours is more likely to drink too. It's important to encourage your teen to choose friends that make healthy and wise decisions. Well, that is 100% true. However, I don't know how much it helps for mom to be like all over that shit. I mean, taking a balanced approach seems to be... Do you like how I'm not a parent? I'm also not really a big drug user, although I do drink. I will tell you, like, keep me away from people who are drinking, and I am less likely to drink. If no one's drinking, Peter's probably not drinking either. But he may. Get to know the parents of the friends your teen is socializing with. It will make it easier to ask them about parties they are hosting for their teen and if alcohol will be served. Is this still a thing? Is in 2018, is it still a thing to have the one friend whose parents are like, "We're going to have booze at this party. I'm fine with it." I always had my two favorites were, you know, "I'm going to let them drink here because I'd rather them do it here than go out and do it somewhere else and drive," or something like that. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, that's not really the options. you know, that's like saying, I'd rather have them, you know, bring a hobo home and murder him here, because then I know they're not out driving. I mean, is it slightly safer? Probably. But is that really the way to go? I'm not so sure. And the other one was, I remember I was going to a graduation party, and someone's parents were like, I think it's fine with me if you have a beer. If you can go off and die for our country, you should be able to have a beer. Which I do agree with. But at the same time, I was like, I mean, I don't really plan on doing that. Does that affect your decision at all? Encourage your team to talk about their interests. Listen without interruption. Your active listening paves the way for conversations about topics that concern you. That's not bad. It would be tough. I think it'd be tough sometimes to listen, like teens, you know? I was asking somebody, I was like, what do your kids watch, like, on TV? Like, what's a show that kids watch? And it's like, YouTube. They just watch shit on YouTube, which I'm like, I guess I do that too. But it's like watching a video of someone open up a thing that they got, you know, a nature box or some shit. When you talk to your teen, ask open-ended questions that can't be answered with a simple yes or no. You'll have more of a conversation. That is less a way to talk to your teens about drugs, more a way of interrogating them. But I do approve. Parents should never buy or give alcohol to anyone under the age of 21. When grown-ups offer kids a drink, it sends a message that drinking is acceptable and safe. Well, yes. I don't know, we have such a weird thing about drinking and drugs. More drugs than drinking, I guess. But it's like, you know, your parents always tell you how bad it is and not to do it and that you should never, ever, ever do it. But they're doing it all the time. Like, they do it constantly. Teenagers still listen to their parents more than anybody else. When you talk, they listen, but try not to lecture. Okay. I mean, they probably hear you more than anyone else. But do they listen? Do teens listen? I mean, there's nothing I would have hated more than, like, my mom coming into my bedroom when I was, like, 15 and being like, let's talk about drugs and alcohol. Because I think I would have been like, I haven't had a drink and probably won't for another, like, 6 or 7 years. And to be honest, drugs-wise, I wish I was popular enough to get drugs or be offered them, but I'm not. I wonder if that's like, that would be one of my pieces of advice here. Make sure your kid's kind of a loser. If your kid's kind of a loser, no one's going to offer them drinking or drugs. Being an ugly doesn't hurt either. If you drink alcohol, set a good example for your kids. Don't overindulge or participate in drinking games in front of them. Yeah, don't let them in on the secret that drinking is very fun. That would be disastrous. Parental disapproval of underage drinking is the key reason teens choose not to drink. Okay. This shows a goose with its babies, by the way. All these come with, like, nature pictures. Don't let your teens attend parties that aren't supervised. Make a phone call and have a conversation with parents before your teen spends time at their home. Oh, my God. That would be tough, but I don't know if I'd want to be that dad. I think I'd want to be the dad who's like, I don't think I'd want to be like, you can drink, I don't care, just do it in a safe way. But I do think I'd want to be the dad who's like, listen, I'm going to trust you until you fuck up. Like, when you give me a reason to not trust you, then I won't trust you. And then you just can't go to these parties, right? But until then, I don't want to be like, I don't know, your dad. Keep alcohol locked away in your home or monitor the alcohol levels in the bottles. Make sure you tell your teen that you don't allow drinking or unchaperoned parties or gatherings in your home. I have a better answer for this. Just make sure that whatever you're drinking is not fun. You know, get some of that Malort, right? Because if your teen is drinking that, they're not going to be able to get shit-faced on that. If you get, like, a Smirnoff Ice, a teen can put down 10 of those, no problem. I would challenge any teen to put down 10 shots of a Malort. And if they did it, I'd be like, well, I think they're mature enough. I think they're ready. When school is out, teens have more time on their hands. Make sure you know where your kids are and who they're socializing with. This is like the same advice. They couldn't even come up with 18 things. When kids start drinking alcohol before the age of 15, they are 4 to 5 more times more likely to have alcohol use and abuse problems when they're older. Make sure you talk about the dangers of drinking. And that's, again, it's like, here's how to keep your teen away from it. It's scary. Don't let them do it. Oh, good one. Having family dinners on a weekly basis improves communication and reduces teen alcohol consumption. I could be down with that. My mom actually did a pretty good job of that when we were kids, which I didn't really appreciate at the time because I was like, oh, fuck off. Like, I'm going to track practice and I want to hang out with my friends. But now, as an adult, I'm like, that was kind of a thing. Watch for signs that your teen might be experimenting with alcohol or drugs. If their grades drop, irritability increases, or they develop an I-don't-care attitude, it's time for a serious talk. Yeah, if you have a teenager who becomes sullen, withdrawn, irritable, doesn't like hanging out with mom and dad, you may have a very serious problem. It may actually be completely nothing, but you may have an extremely serious problem. It's either nothing and totally normal because they're a teenager, or you're fucked. Your family is fucked. If you serve alcohol to anyone under age 21 on your property, you could face felony charges and financial responsibility for injuries or damages. Ooh. Do you want to connect with other parents and about underage drinking and drug use? Check out this Facebook page. That sounds like a very fun Facebook page. I want to be part of a page that's about helping kids stay off drinking and drugs. The holidays present a lot of temptations for young adults. Keep track of where your teen is and who they're spending time with, especially while school is out. That is exactly the same as the summer one. Well, those are the 18 tips. I hope they helped you. They didn't do shit for me. Those were terrible tips. What are Pete's tips? Just the tips. Well, like I said, if your kid's a loser, that helps. If your kid doesn't have friends, that helps a lot. Because basically, you know, if you don't have any friends, you're not going to any parties. I mean, like, kids also, I gotta say, like, when I was young, I didn't understand what parties were. Because I had been to a couple parties before alcohol was a thing. And I didn't really know what you were supposed to do there. And also, it's not like, I just didn't really like going to a place and talking with a bunch of people I didn't know, but that I sort of knew from school. I basically knew them enough to know that I was like, I don't really like this pool. You know, or like, well, if I liked this person, wouldn't I hang out with them and not just have to go to a party where they are, where there's like 50 of us? But yeah, I think being a loser helps. That's been my experience. You know, and like, you could be a loser still. I don't know. I think that like, maybe too, it's about being sort of tolerant of some shenanigans happening as long as they're happening in an acceptable, you know, if you've got like these, your kid has like 3 or 4 friends and they play like D&D together. And like one time you discover like they were drinking beer while they were playing Dungeons and Dragons. First, I'd be angry because I'd be like, I hope that this kid still likes doing this in 10 years, because then maybe it would be time for where dad's allowed to swoop in and enjoy the good times. Because that sounds pretty fun. I don't know. I think you also have to just like put it out of your mind about like what a hypocrite you are. Because I think being a parent, you just got to be a hypocrite, right? You'd be like, drinking is wrong and bad. And then meanwhile, I'm like, lots of the fun times I've had in the last decade have been drinking related. There have been drinks at a lot of the fun times I've had in my life. I've got to admit that that is the truth. What else? How would I prevent teens from drinking? Oh, well, I do have, I probably talked about it on here before, my punish point system, which is a punishment system by which when kids do something bad, you know, okay, like some parents have these weird punishment styles, right? Like, I had a friend whose dad smoked, and so he stole some cigarettes and smoked them and got caught by his mom. And so she made him smoke cigarettes basically end to end until he threw up. And so my version of this, though, because it's like, well, it's 2018. Like, I feel like you could get away with that in 1993, but in 2018, I'm not so sure. So my system is the punish point, which is you basically make your kids experience what it's like to be an adult. And they have to get up early in the morning, come to a place where you've set up a PowerPoint presentation that is like 4 hours long. And, you know, it meanders. There are technical difficulties. It never really works quite right. You get it set up. The slides are horrible to look at. Like, they're just atrocious. And, you know, the topics are things that they absolutely don't want to hear. The topics are like stores that used to be in the town I grew up in that aren't there anymore. And what's there now? You know? And it's like, after the break in the middle of the day, we'll do, and what's there now? And so it's like, they have to come to this, you know, they have to eat like some really crappy food or something for breakfast while they're there. They're sitting in an uncomfortable chair and they're just hearing Dad wax on about, you know, that was where Toddy's used to be. Now it's an Inspire Fitness now. But when it was Toddy's, it was kind of a grocery store frequented by older folks in the community. They had a pretty good bakery, though, and my two favorite donuts were a chocolate raised and a chocolate fried cinnamon. Each had its distinct advantages. You know, and just going on and on like this. And I don't know, I think that would be... I think coming up with a creative way to punish your kids is probably more interesting. I remember at one time I was like, maybe what I'll do is I would say, like, if you fuck up and I have to punish you, you can choose to be... I don't want to ground kids, because I think grounding them sounds like a lot of work on my part. Like, how do I know? I mean, at this point, I did have someone at work tell me, you know what's good about giving your kids a phone is then that's what you take away when they're not behaving. And I was like, oh yeah, that's a pretty good point. So I do feel like, you know, you could basically just unplug the router at home. Or, you know, maybe I would have, if I had a kid who was misbehaving, I'd have two routers. And I'd be like, all right, this is the one that I connect to with all my shit. And this is my kid's router. And then the kid's router is on one of those automatic timer things. So it turns off at like 10 p.m. or whatever. Whatever time a kid's supposed to go to bed. That would probably help. I was watching a Friday the 13th movie, you know, the first one. No, wait. Nightmare on Elm Street. The first Nightmare on Elm Street. And it's like the kids are calling each other at night to like stay up and stuff. And the parents are like picking up the phone like, what in the hell are you doing calling? Because the phone's ringing like throughout the whole house. And then the dad is like, oh, enough of this bullshit. And he makes the move of just like taking the phone and putting it off the hook and setting it on the dresser, which isn't as dramatic as you would hope, you know? It's not like slamming the phone down and ripping it out of the wall. That would have been awesome. But it's still, you're like, oh, I guess it was pretty easy back in the day to do that, because it's like, my son is asleep, his girlfriend, who we all think is insane, keeps calling, and it's late at night, so I'm going to just rip this out of the wall. Or, you know, sorry, I'm going to just take this off the cradle, set it next to it, problem solved. Not like now, where I'm like, oh, this fucking kid's got a phone, what is he going to do with it? It's almost like you got to get one of those little stupid pouches that they use at, like, a comedy show or something, and put your kid's phone in there for the night. I don't know. There's got to be a way. Where there's a William, there's a Whalium, as we all like to say. Well, that seems like the end of what I have to talk about, doesn't it? When I say when there's a William, there's a Whalium. Thanks for listening. It's good to see y'all in the studio again. And we'll talk to you next week.
Let's talk about bum wine, yeah. Asking the questions that nobody could. Like, where are the bone dogs and are they in heart?